That trade you just talked about, this is the first time I'm hearing about it. It's the first time. I have to look at this trade because I don't want to do the show now. I don't. Go to the next person.
Yeah.
Go to the next person.
Well, with that, we'll come back to Jay Chris in a second. But before we go to Andy Richard on the Twitter, is anybody upset with the fact that The Rock no longer has the Brahma Bull tattoo on his arm? That seems to bother me. Rock, say it ain't so. The Brahma Bull, the tattoo that's synonymous with not just The Rock himself, but the world. It became a brand. It became an icon. It became a symbol. It's gone. What does that mean? Andy Griffin on the Twitter. Possibly I call him on his way to go. Praise him. What's going on, Micah?
Oh, my brother. Oh, we had this discussion about the Rose Man earlier this week. Can't wait to get into it. And then you said the Brahma Bull is gone. No, I don't want to do the show anymore. Go on to the next person.
God, it's just, why? Why?
I don't get it. I don't get it at all. With the Rock tattoo. But let's start off what we got to talk with, because this is the hour and power of sports. And although I keep looking at this hideous tattoo, by the way, I think it's a very ugly tattoo, Rock. I really do. Like, he said he was getting the Brahma Bull. It was the evolution of it. He has, like, the Velociraptor. Actually, it still is a Brahma Bull. It's just different. It is. I see the horns on it. It's still a Brahma Bull. It's just, it looks like a Velociraptor version of the Brahma Bull. You know, I don't know. It's stupid. Maybe it's the gray hair getting to him. Well, who knows? He's the Rock. He can't do nothing wrong, right? He's not what we feel like. But let's talk about it, Jay Chris, here and now, and start off with this, because we're going to go on the NFL talk about the preseason games that are tonight and what happened yesterday. But today, the big boom, if you will, came down on the Dallas Cowboys star running back Ezekiel Elliott, who is appealing this, by the way, from the NFL. They gave him a 6-game suspension for domestic violence. However, Ezekiel Elliott comes out from his camp, the NFL findings and the appeal of the factual, of the factual inaccuracy and erroneous collusion is cherry picking so-called evidence to support conclusion while ignoring other critical evidence. For example, both the Columbus Prosecutor's Office as well as the NFL investigators concluded and found no evidence of the accuser while she was lying about several things. Ezekiel Elliott is very upset with this. A lot of you guys can go ahead to the 1340 AM Fox Sports page to read this, but he's appealing this 6-game suspension. Starting with you, Jay Chris, is this warranted? Because I will say this much. We knew about this for about a year, okay, before the beginning of last season. And this is where you know the difference between, and I say this all the time, Jay Chris, football fans are the most fickle fans, because you can be bipartial all year long in sports until football season starts, and then you have certain fan bases refuse to see, to me, things that should happen. Now, I'm not saying he's guilty of this said crime, but I will always hide behind where there's smoke, there's fire. And although they can prove that she lied on several other occasions, how can they just ignore the fact of witnesses saying he put his hands on her? Witnesses saying other things like that happened and kicking her out the car. And what about the police report where they both were there in the apartment where the police came, and the police had to give her an Uber to go home because they felt that she was also assaulted? So as they pull out these things saying that they're, you know, they're using words like inaccuracies and erroneous conclusions, and it's just cherry picking. What about the fact of the matter, Jay Chris? 6 games for domestic dispute after what happened with all the stuff in the NFL. If this is the going rate for domestic violence, then guess what? Stop it. I'm behind the NFL because I'm hardcore. Your thoughts?
Ooh, there's a whole lot to ingest right there. Look, man.
It was.
Put it like this.
I, you know what? This is who I am, you know.
If I put it to you like this, and put my hatred aside for the Dallas Cowboys,
right?
If he did it, that's what he get, and he should get more. He should be suspended for the season. Maybe he should get the Colin Kaepernick treatment. But we know, never mind. You know what? I won't even get into it.
He's a Cowboy.
I won't get into it. All I'm gonna say is we know that won't happen. But that's what he should get. I mean, look, you can't go around putting your hands on females. You can't put your hand on anybody.
Line tag. Fair or foul. There you go. King Bond Jr. 720 on Twitter, who I know I'm going to tweet nothing, so I put it into a way that he can understand. Fair or foul, the suspension?
Fair. Foul. It's foul. It should be more.
It's foul.
If he did it, it should be more. It should be harsher. If he actually did it, it should be harsher. So, or more harsh. I don't know if harsh is a word. It should be more harsh than the game. So in that case, I say it's foul, but it's fair for him to be suspended.
That's all? Nothing more, nothing less?
That's it.
Papa Lee, fair or foul? Because last time I checked, America's team, I don't know about that. You mean the America's most wanted? Because these dudes are criminals. Every year, they're doing something. That's why America's team is the New England Patriots. No one took in trouble but one person. You saw what happened to him. Okay? Go ahead.
I'm with you. And I think that finally, the NFL actually chose to man up and say, mm-hmm. okay, well, in this case, that the one that we got wrong with Ray Rice, when we actually when we have some video evidence, we got it wrong at first, and we should have just took care of it properly the first time. We severely got it wrong because at least in that situation, the wife admitted that she played a role. Now, he still shouldn't have put his hands on her, but she admitted that she goaded him into all that stuff. So they made up, they went on. You had a guy who admitted, and the wife admitted, they're perfectly fine. I mean, I just treat her like a boxing match. I just treat her like it was a boxing match. And he still had a job. He got suspended for one game. So now you have one of the guys who probably has your back. And just like you did against one Tom Horatio Rodriguez Brady, you actually brought the hammer down and you said, I don't care that you had my back when you got me this job for $244 million right now. I've got to do what I got to do to protect the shield, because the shield is what's important. If you notice, no other sport, no other sport that's made that actually is important, because, you know, hockey is important, but, you know, it's regional comparison. No other sport really focuses on an individual outside of football. Football doesn't focus on the individual. They don't care. They may market individual guys, but they don't care about that. So this was fair. And I agree with Jay Chris that it's foul because he's only getting six. Because, like, you brought up the other evidence to light, other witness reports and things like that.
You think
ain't no devil's advocate.
I got you. There it is, because there is a lot of information, and I say it's foul. This is why I say it's foul, because there's no conviction. There have been no charges brought. So I have a professional league where he works at giving him a suspension. Now, if he had charges and he has been found guilty, if they were charges brought against him, he was putting a civil suit even, or whatever, something in court, something that hasn't been arrested for these actions, then I would say fair and maybe more. But off of speculation, off of in your window, off of he said, she said, technically, it's he said, she said. So how can he get a suspension for something like that? And I know.
Okay, well, let me answer his double advocate. Yeah, I can kind of agree with that, but let me play devil's advocate against your devil's advocate, the angel advocate, all right? So you're living in a time in which SJWs are trying to run every aspect of our society. And I'm talking about the negative aspect of being a social justice warrior. Social justice is important when it's done in the right way. We got these negative ones that's in here, and one of the things they want to make sure that leagues do of any kind of entity or sports body is to stand for something regardless of actual evidence or not. So we are talking about a guy who stood up by taking a knee, and we're saying, without actual facts, that all these white owners, 31 of them, and one of them is Pakistani, all these owners who are white and one Pakistani are racist against a black dude for standing up for black stuff. We have no actual evidence, but we expect it by our feelings, by he says, she said, by conjecture, and by some of the actions that they have taken, that it's still true. So why can't it be true in this case with a guy who had a history of stuff, and then we saw him on video actually pulling down a young lady's shirt. This particular young lady didn't actually like it. The other one was fine. All I'm saying is that we can't have it both ways, where in one situation we have no evidence, no clear-cut evidence, no conviction of anything, but we feel it. That young lady who felt his hands, allegedly, feels that way when society is like, oh, no, we're going to back him because he has more talent, and he's actually worth taking a risk on. We're going to ignore you. So him getting the 6-game suspension, he should have got more because you attack on personal conduct because of the stuff that he did on the parade. See what I'm saying? That makes sense?
No, that makes sense if there was a conviction. If there was – here's my middle part with that, right? Yes, I saw the video. Yes, I said, well, that's inappropriate. Now, we have to play – when you're an athlete, I know some people who are non-athletes, some people who don't want to tread that deep in the deep end – saying he should have got away with that, and the girl actually was offended by it. But how do we know what happened after that? With the they know who he is, okay? With the video showed her being, oh my God, my boobs! I've been exposed. After that, for all we know, she could have been, you know, behind the bleachers, for all we know, because of that incident. I'm not saying he's right for that. To me, it's wrong. It's still, I have daughters. I have a wife. That's wrong. You don't do that. But my point in making up what I just said happen is because he still wasn't convicted. She didn't call no charges against the guy for that. There were no charges for that. She just did it. He just did it. Do I think it's wrong morally? Yes. Remember, there's a difference here. And I've said this a long time ago. I haven't said it in a while, Jay Chris. You can follow me. There's reality and there's perception. The perception is he's a dirtbag. But in reality, there's no proof of him being a dirtbag. We bring in our own from Redskins, Urban Sports Scene's number one guy. I know, man. But what's going on, Urban Scene Ray as well? Wally, fair or foul? Ezekiel Elliott suspended for 6 games. There's no proof.
I'm a diehard Redskins fan. What are you doing with that?
I want you to be honest.
Look, man, I'm jaded here. I'll always be jaded when it comes to Cowboys. Nobody can ever change that. I can't change that one, Bobby. But I do think it's funny because, I mean, I dig the argument. The argument's great. And, Mike, you have a great point. The NFL enforcers always played this game. They did it with Pac-Man Jones. Before Pac-Man Jones was convicted of anything, they've already suspended him. And, you know, he was already deemed without – they already assumed that he was in that situation – with the strip club, but before he was guilty or anything, they gave him a suspension. So this isn't anything new to me. But Ezekiel Elliott portrayed himself in the way of a problem. Unfortunately, this is how he's portrayed himself. And it seems like he gets in trouble. It may not be major, but he's getting himself in trouble every other month or whatever. So now Roger Goodell he can't ignore the Cowboys because it's the Cowboys, right? He did the same thing with Pac-Man Jones. He did the same thing with other players. So he has to stay consistent. So therefore, it's fair because you got to stay consistent in what you've been doing. Because if he didn't suspend Ezekiel Elliott, it would be like, well, how come you suspended XYZ for that amount of games? So he has to do it because he already set the precedent to it.
And I hate even defending this because you know I loathe them as well. You know what I'm saying? I can't lie, but. When I first heard this, I was like, yeah, boy. And I was like you, Wally. Well, okay, you suspend all these other guys for stuff that they were not found guilty of. But I had a problem with that as well. You know what I mean? I did. And I get what you're saying, and you're right by saying that, and that's wrong. And he had to stay the course of what he did. You know what I mean? But I'm going to go back to reality, and perception. The perception is he's a dirtbag and he's guilty and he needs to be, you know, calmed down. And I take the words of Chris Carter, who, you know, this time last year, was the year before last, we've been doing the show for so long, I kind of forget, at that rookie symposium, we kind of bashed him. But he made this comment on what show was I listening to, and I apologize for that. But I remember him making this comment. He said he needs to be in control. They have to set up precedent. The NFL, the Cowboys, he even thought maybe the Cowboys, like NCAA teams do, jump ahead of this before the NFL and suspend them for 2 games. And maybe this wouldn't have been so harsh by the NFL. I just have a problem sitting back saying there's no proof of this. Yeah, I know what it looks like, but there's no proof. You know, I'm a guy who still says Bill Cosby's innocent, and so is OJ. So, I mean, I need proof. I need proof. I don't think Ezekiel Elliott did this. 347, well, I'm not going to say that part out loud. There's no proof that he did this. 347-637-3859. The number to call in. Also today, the Philadelphia Eagles, Wally, Jay Chris, don't want to hear this. Micah is going to hear this because it's happened. The Philadelphia Eagles make a blockbuster trade. Well, is it really blockbuster if you're not an Eagles fan? No, it's just a trade, okay? Troubling receiver. Jordan Matthews, the nephew, this is what bothers me, the nephew of Jerry frickin' Rice, traded to what I like to refer to now as the Buffalo Philadelphia Bills, now for Mr. Ronald Darby, and they sent out troubled wide receiver, often injured wide receiver, to the Rams, Sammy Watkins. Wally, your take on the trade. I saw your Twitter line earlier as Fox Sports Radio retweeted it saying you thought it was a good trade for the Bills as far as Sammy Watkins, I mean, a good trade for the Rams as far as getting Sammy Watkins. What about the rest of the deal? How do you feel about that?
Say you say the last part again, Mike.
How do you feel about the rest of the deal that Buffalo did?
Oh,
yeah, that Buffalo,
I mean, the Eagles did well because they got Darby, who's a good point, cornerback, so you can put – so now they have enough – well, he'll be the number one cornerback on that unit. So I think that's a good – that was a good trade for the Eagles. When you look at the Rams, well, I was talking about the Rams. I like what the Rams are doing because they didn't have a number one wide receiver, you know, on that roster. You got, you know, Tavon Austin, who is a slot receiver. You got Robert Woods now. He's paired a backup with Sammy Watkins Jr. And Sammy Watkins Jr., you know, with the right offense, you know what I mean, and the right quarterback, with the right quarterback, he can be dynamic. Unfortunately, he's been in a system where the quarterback play – I mean, and I like Tyrod Taylor, but Tyrod Taylor isn't like a 300 or 400-yard passer. He's a winner, and he makes plays, and that's a great – he's a good – and I love Tyrod Taylor. But he's not like – it's not like playing with a guy who's going to throw the ball 50-some-odd times. And you know, wide receivers tend to like that type of quarterback. And Sammy Watkins Jr. is a talent. Like, he's an extreme talent. So he gets an opportunity to play in a passing offense because Sean McVay, who used to be the Washington Redskins offensive coordinator, is a pass-happy coach. So he's the head coach over there. So I expect for Sammy Watkins Jr. to get a bunch of targets and to probably be a guy that could be effective if he stays healthy. I think you mentioned a great point that he's been hurt so many times, but he gets the opportunity to be a number one wide receiver in the NFL. So I like to trade on both parts.
I'm going to have Jay Chris jump in here, who's not too happy about Jordan Matthews leaving. Did not hear the news until he brought here on the program. It was breaking news to him. Jay Chris, your thoughts? As an Eagle fan and myself, I know we needed Darby. Darby, according to Pro Football Focus, was the fifth overall cornerback since the 2006 draft over these years. He's rated pretty high. He was their number one. He's going to come in here to be our number one. However, I know Jordan Matthews was hurt last year for the drops. He had the broken hand that a lot of people do not know about. I'm afraid that because of training camp and how they're seeing that Nelson Aguilar all of a sudden is showing this talent, they let him go. Do you think it was too soon? And this draft, you're hearing it now, your thoughts? This trade, I mean.
Yeah, it was absolutely too soon, without a doubt. I mean, Jordan Matthews, I don't think they didn't give Jordan Matthews a chance. Yeah, Nelson Aguilar is showing a good camp, but that's camp.
He spent three years here. Did we not give him a chance, or did he not take advantage of his chance?
Well, here's the thing. Here's when, like, on the surface, from the outside looking in, you're looking at this as, you know, Nelson Aguilar is looking good in camp, and he could be taking the spot. But two things people on the outside don't know. Collins last night had an amazing play, which you probably saw on ESPN or whatever, Fox Sports, where he caught the ball across the middle, ran, stiff-armed two guys, slammed one guy into the dirt and scored a touchdown. Then you got Treggs coming up, who's having a pretty good camp as well. And he's been on a practice team last year, and he's played pretty well when he was in games last year. So it could be making room for younger guys coming in. Now we know that Jordan Matthews is not that fast. He's not that fleet of foot like his Uncle Jerry. His hands, uh-huh. have not been anything to write home about. However, you know, I he's a big receiver. He was that big target that we were missing for years. And then you get rid of him without really, I don't feel like really giving him a chance, but you gave Nelson Aguilar plenty of chance. So they must see something in Nelson Aguilar that they really think can equate to something special in the future. So,
he has the most talent on Eagles team as a receiver, of course, concerned. And I think this has a lot to do with the fact we're not exactly sure how great or how healthy, shall I say, one Alshon will be.
Yeah, I know. He didn't play last night. He missed a few practices with I think it was an ankle injury, I believe. But, you know, I think Alshon will be all right. I really think they're saving him for the season. And they didn't trade for a running back. I mean, they didn't trade for a wide receiver. So they traded for a D-back, which was a huge need a huge need for the Eagles, and you know,
so you
I'm
give up Jordan Matthews for the starting cornerback. And
but see, here's what bothers me. They not only gave up Jordan Matthews, but they gave up a draft pick as well. Why give up both?
Third round pick in 2018.
Well, I would have gave up two picks.
Jump in there, Wally.
Darby's one of the better cornerbacks in the NFL. I mean, anytime you get out, this is the thing to show up the Eagles' defense. This is, I get it. Like, I get the move because you got a great, like, this is the thing. You got a great pass rush, right? You do got a great pass rush. It's the truth. And then you have safety plays good. You got Miles.
We got a good 4-7. We don't look at pass rushes.
Yeah, that's a great pass. That's a good pass rush.
He ain't signed to 2018. He's only signed for the end of next year, though. That's what gets me. He's signed to 2018.
Yeah, but you got the opportunity to still resign him. You still get the opportunity if you want to during the season. If he's played to his ability, and he should play well with a good pass rush. So you have a good cornerback. You pair him up with a good safety in Malcolm Jenkins. Now you're not, that secondary is not as weak, and now you're really contending because you already talked about the other side of the ball and wide receiver. You got Alshon Jeffries. You got Torrey Smith. These two are going to be your starters,
right?
Yeah, Aguilar is your gonna be your slot. So you have pretty much, you're set, and then you got Zach Ertz at tight end. You're set at the pass catching position where you can now look at Jordan Matthews. You know what? We can get that. We can trade you off and bring in a quality player, which they needed in Darby. So it really projects them up there to give a good chance to really win the NFC East if you want to break it down. So I just think that move was made. So you know what? Let's make a big run at this and make a big push at this. When, like, the Cowboys aren't that much better than us, the Giants aren't that much. What do we need to do? We need to shore up our secondary. I think they did a good job doing it.
347-637-3859. Any opinion here, Michael, on this? I know we're not talking about the Indianapolis Colts, but that comes very far between here on the AFC side of the NFC East bias we have on this network. Any thoughts on there? And Kenny Anderson says it's foul, but he's a Cowboys fan, so what does he know?
it's all good. We don't have to talk about the Indianapolis Colts. I mean, they're going to suck anyway this year anyway, so who cares? But Wally couldn't have said it better than I would have, because I would have brought up all the same things that he brought up, everything that I still do have. And thank you very much for clearing up with some of the things or issues with Jordan Matthews' hands, because I just thought the brother was just he just dropped balls. I was like, is this guy like a group of puberty-ridden teenage boys, because the way he dropped balls is ridiculous. I mean, I thought that he was really one of the reasons why Carson Wentz couldn't be as effective as he should have been last year. I'm not singling just him out. I know that the left tackle that y'all lost is a big part of that, too. Y'all get him back, and y'all going to be fantastic. And, you know, you take that with Ezekiel Elliott being out for this game, or more, depending on how people feel. I don't see anybody having an issue with seeing y'all coming in that first place position for the NFC East. I think it's fantastic. And you both up the one thing that was y'all main weakness last year was your defense. So, I mean, why not plug up the holes? You give away a draft pick. You give away a draft pick for 2018. You know, I'll take one draft pick over 3-4 years of having sustained success and ticking off every Cowboys fan in the Dagger Nation. I would take that.
Hey, let me just say this about getting one of the better D backs. I understand he's one of the better D backs in the league, and you know I'm not taking anything from him. But what I will say is, in the last 10 years, the Eagles have been in that position twice before, and it hasn't produced the results that were expected.
I feel you.
That's all I'm saying. About that.
Dice have to land on 7? Doesn't eventually been rolling the dice at the crap table? You got to get a 7 or 11 eventually.
Yeah, but
we've
but
missed out on
Nambi. Sometimes you're rolling all day. Sometimes you're rolling all day.
So then what's the other alternative here? To draft somebody? Again, they're not going to move to get Jamal Adams.
Well,
like, you know what I mean?
They
like,
did draft somebody, but
situation?
He's not going to play till next year.
Right. Exactly.
So, I mean, like Micah said, you're going after it this year? I guess so. I guess you're going to have to go after it this year. Maybe you're setting it up for a nice defensive backfield next year. But, you know, I'm not excited about the trade. You see, talk to me in October. So,
okay.
That's all. All
right. 347-637-3859 is something to call in. As King Von, you're tweeting, he's the only Cowboy fan on this network. Yesterday, the Washington Redskins, our host team, as we cover the Washington Redskins and the Carolina Panthers, hosted the or they played the Ravens yesterday. And now with Mallett not playing such a great game, the Colin Kaepernick talk has even risen more. Wally, part of the Redskins Earth Thing podcast here on Fox Sports Radio 1340 AM and Fox Sports Radio 96.9 FM. Wally, your take on the Redskins' first preseason game?
Oh, yeah, I mean, they look soft, to be honest with you. And it has to probably do with something. Well, no, not even that. It's like you assess individual play. And then you got to look at, you know, the Ravens had, you know, Ravens had the same schedule in terms of training camp and whatnot, and they probably, you know, they couldn't hit as much or whatever they did. I don't know. But they look more physical. And I think that's the thing that's more concerning about if I'm a Redskin fan, if I'm a Redskin coaching staff, I'm concerned about the physicality that the Ravens brought to the table that the Redskins didn't have. In terms of skill, I liked the play of nose tackle Phil Taylor. He used to be one of the predominant nose tackles in Cleveland. He looked real good. He's local. He is a local individual too. I like the play of Alabama rookie, not Jonathan Allen. He played okay, but I like the play of Ryan Anderson. Ryan Anderson, outside linebacker, he played well. So I think in terms of, you know, physicality, they have to get things mapped out. But in terms of, I mean, they had some major injuries. Sue Craven's gonna be out 2 to 3 weeks. 2 to 3 weeks with a knee injury. And Trent Murphy, who had a 4-game suspension, outside linebacker, tore his ACL and his meniscus, so he'll be out for the year.
So, buddy, when watching the game, like you said, the Redskins look a little weak up front. Mm-hmm. Is it that the Ravens is that much better than them as far as, you know,
yeah,
big people beat up little people? Or, you know, are the Ravens that much better?
I don't think the Ravens were better because offensively they did some things that weren't really. I mean, offensively they looked that strong, and the Redskins defense, they did look okay. They look physical. They look weaker. They look softer. I'm gonna say that in terms of the Redskins offensive line. But I think the Ravens have a particular culture. It's not a talent thing. I think that how they practice, how they do things in training camp, how they set the tone, they bring physicality. Some coaches know how to coach for physicality. I think Jay Gruden is still fresh in his coaching thing. I feel like maybe in practice he tends to kind of play it a little easy on the players. I wouldn't take it that easy on the players. I think he needs to be more physical within his practices.
Well, there you have it. Redskins Earth Thing reporter, as Cam Newton is back to throwing individual drills today at practice. Jay Chris, your take from the Philadelphia Eagles preseason game, before you answer that question, this is why I love the NFL, because we all say it's the preseason, right? And then you go to work today and everybody go, your Eagles lost. And then I actually have the nerve on FoxSports.com. They have the Eagles a game out of the division. It says NFC East standings. It's the preseason. Since when did we start counting standings for the preseason? Am I out of date and this has been going on, Jay Chris? What the heck is that all about?
Who is responsible for that ridiculous assessment? Who is it?
FoxSports.com, not Fox Sports 1340. FoxSports.com.
That is ridiculous. We're a game out of the – come on, man. So, come on. We're trying to win the preseason championship out here.
Right.
Come on, man.
Cowboys fans are – I go to work this morning and go, what happened to your Eagles? I go, it's the preseason. And they were doing so hyped yesterday. I was hyped to see the first team play. They played a series, actually, and they were out. I mean, what do you do?
Pretty much what it was.
Well, they got yesterday, 24-9. What's your take from that? Because to me, I just thought the Packers' defense, to me, was impressive. It didn't matter first team, second team, third team, fourth team. They blitzed the Philadelphia Eagles all night long, Jay Chris.
Yeah, it looked – I mean, you know, when you look at it on the surface, yeah, the Eagles didn't look good as far as being able to stop the pass rush. The running game couldn't really get going. But like you said, it's preseason, and 2 years ago we were in the same situation with Sam Bradford, Sammy Sleeves, putting up a ridiculous number against the Green Bay defense that looked like world beaters. We looked like world beaters that day against them. So, like Wiley said, you look at individual things. I think Collins, the running back, I think he made the team with that one play. You know, as long as he doesn't do anything crazy that gets him cut for the rest of the preseason. I'm interested in seeing what Aguilar does. You got Zach Ertz getting a lot of heat for what they say he missed a block on that end of round that was ran on first down, I believe it was, with Aguilar. But you know, if you look at the play, it looks like Peters should have been there with him, and he let the guy go, thinking maybe Peters was right there with him to block a guy. So you know, when we look at things on the surface, you got to look at the tape, look at it again, and see what was probably supposed to happen. All in all, I think the Eagles look decent. You know, Carson Wentz only played one series. Alshon Jeffrey didn't play at all. The D-backs looked like I expected them to look, not good. at least the third team. And then you had the kid, I think his name was Stafford, that put that hit down on the Green Bay wide receiver that laid him out, put him out of the game on the stretcher. And, I'm hearing today he went to Shepherd University. Shepherd College, or whatever it's called, and that's a regular thing for him. So, you know, maybe if he's somebody that can make the team, he could be somebody. He could be a hard hat back there for the defense. We'll see. I'm not too down on the team this morning or this afternoon, but I'm not too high on them either. I wait for that third preseason game to really see what's going on. We know teams don't game plan for each other, so I want to see what the offense looks like with all the weapons back there. I'm mostly excited to have LeGarrette Blount in our outfit, in our backfield. And, I want to see how that opens things up for our wide receiver. So that's what I'm looking forward to with the Eagles. Not too high, not too low. I'm even keel right now. They're not division champions yet, but they're not last place either. Well, and they're not a game behind either, FoxSports.com.
Stupid. Well, I just have something I want to do right now because it's a lot of people's birthdays, and most important to me, this is the most important birthday next to mine of the month.
If y'all don't know by now, it's Hip Hop 44's birthday, baby. Hashtag Hip Hop 44. Okay, a lot to celebrate on this day, on this momentous day. Okay, shout out to everybody in the hip hop community. How, in my opinion, they can say what they want to say about country music, about rock and roll, whatever is whatever, and it's going to be whatever. But the fact of the matter is, there is no other genre, there is no other culture imitated, often duplicated, more than hip-hop. Jay Chris, say something wonderful about Hip-Hop 44, please.
Man, I wouldn't be who I am today if hip-hop hadn't saved the day. You know what I'm saying? I love hip-hop music. You know, I love the culture. I love how everybody tries to bite off the culture. That's a hip-hop word right there, bite.
Right.
You know,
you front,
it's 44.
You frontin' if you think that ain't real.
It's 44 today. I just turned 36, so hip-hop is older than me. How about that? Think about that. Here we go. Let me tell you a quick story, and I'm going to let the next person go. When I was in fourth grade, I wrote a paper. Yeah, I had papers to do in fourth grade. I wrote a little paper on hip-hop. I was talking about the DJs. I was talking about breakdancing and all like that. And my dad told me, he said, look, man, this is the last time you ever do a paper on rap music while you're in school. I said, okay, cool. Because he didn't think hip-hop was here to stay. 44 years later, hip-hop is here to stay. It ain't going nowhere, and people might ask it to, but it ain't going nowhere. So shout-out to the 44th anniversary of the birth of hip-hop. Shout-out to the break parties back in the Bronx. Shout-out to Grandmaster Flash. Hurt and all the whole crew, Bambada, all those guys, man. Thank you for letting our culture live, man.
Well, I'm 42, so hip hop's older than me too. I ain't a rapper though. Wally, 44, man. Like, without hip hop, may he rest in peace. Would Stuart Scott have been the great anchor that he was? He put hip hop in a sports genre that allowed for there to be a BDSR network and a soul in sports and an urban sports scene. Am I wrong for making that connection, Wally?
No, you're right. I think you're totally right. And plus, you know, you got other individuals who even try to bite, you know, Stuart Scott's style within that.
Absolutely.
Within the full network, full letter network.
And they're terrible at it.
Yeah, I know, right? So, I mean, yeah, Stuart Scott, you know, hip-hop has influenced sports all around the board. I mean, if I was hip hop, I would kind of be rolling in my grave a little bit with some of these new acts, but that's a whole different topic.
you talking about Lil Uzi Vert?
Look, man, they all the same, man. They all the same. I can't even tell you. I can't decipher who's
trash.
Who, man. To be honest with you,
I know they all.
They all the same. But yeah, man. I mean, in terms of the influence on life, culture, everything, like Jay Chris said, like folks, man, I mean, they biting our style. Like, to be honest with you. So it's amazing how it's grown. It used to be this thing that, you know, that rep that was synonymous with, you know, crime and bad and whatever you want to say and demonizing black folks. It used to be that way. But then you look at it now, that everybody copies it. Everybody wants to be it. Everybody wants to wear the clothes. They want to have the walk. They want to talk the game. It's amazing to me. So hip hop is definitely something that's blessed us all.
And Micah, last but definitely not least, how has hip hop, you know, got to you, Mr. Virginia?
Well, you know, while I grew up with hip hop, I was definitely not its biggest fan, and I am not ashamed to say it. I love my techno and my jazz music up, and then as I got older, I started to appreciate the quality of artists that hip hop brought to our community and the quality of artists that hip hop brought to the music genre. In general. And while hip hop itself is 44, that crap music that these guys are doing these days is about 5 years old. It's okay. Go Super Saiyan and Command Mayhem on all crap music that's trying to pretend to be hip hop, all right? Shout out to all the guys and the gals who made sure that their sound was unique and individual so that their voices could actually be heard. So that way they didn't sound like somebody else because that was the money thing to do. And I appreciate real hip-hop and real hip-hop fans and real MCs. I don't know what these guys are, but, man, I can't wait for real hip-hop artists to bring them down to their knees. And I ain't no rapper either.
I know that's right. He's on his way to go praise him. Thank you, hip-hop, from Soul and Sports, from every one of us individually as a BDSR network. I thank you. This goes back to for me, you know, Rakim and Eric B and, you know, the list goes on and on. Redman, Big Daddy Kane, Coogee Rap, the guys I grew up off on, you know what I mean? EPMD, you know, guys like that, without them, I just don't know where I would actually be in this world. I love my R&B and Justin's been in my house. My wife's around all the time. I'm an R&B nut. I love R&B. I'm one of the few guys that listen to R&B in the gym. You know what I mean? But I recognize what hip-hop is, and that's why I don't play into the politics of these younger guys trying to say, well, y'all had hip-hop, you know, and hip-hop needs to evolve. No, hip-hop is like grammar. It's like math. You, all of a sudden, you can't say 2 + 2 = 7. It doesn't make any sense. Hip-hop had a backbone. It had a way of what it was. You don't change it because you want to. It elevates. It evolves like a Pokemon. It doesn't change because you can't do it. So for anybody out there aspiring to be a hip-hop artist, you know, do me a favor. Learn your craft. Learn the history. Respect what those who came before us did. Okay? Because you can't change what was already what it was. Hip-hop forever. Happy 44 to you. Guys, we got about 15 minutes about here. It's Friday, hour of power and sports. But I like this beat right now. Let me give me a second. Oh! Okay. We got shit to do. What I think we're going to do today, we're doing the AFC North. Wally, J. Chris, Micah, over-unders. Let's start from the bottom because, like hip-hop, we started from the bottom. Now we're here. As Micah refers to them as the Factory of Sadness, the Cleveland Browns, you ready for this? Over-under. Are you expecting this? Anything less than, more than this? 4.5. I'm going to start with you, Micah, since you're driving and the wind's gone blow because it must be hot there. Over under on the Factory of Sadness at 4.5.
You know what? I actually like it at 4. I actually like it at 4 games. So that's slightly under, but not too much. I like the 4 games. I think that what they're going to bring to the table isn't going to be much. Their defense is going to be tough. And they probably will win some games against people who are lacking against them. So, I think they can do 4. That's the under, technically, okay. Right?
That's the under, technically, right. All right, got one under for the Factory of Sadness. Sorry, I had to sneeze there off air. J. Chris, Factory of Sadness at 4.5. They've got all these draft picks. They got the quarterback, Kyler, from Notre Dame. But if it's still the Cleveland Browns, you know my motto, I'd rather be an Eagle fan than be a Cleveland Brown or Detroit Lions fan. Is that what I'm still going to be seeing at the end of the year this year?
You'll probably be seeing that at the end of the year, but I'm going to go with over. I think they win more than 4 games this year. I don't know why, but, you know, I'm just trying to – I guess I'm giving the people of Cleveland hope. Because they're going to lose LeBron. They're going to lose Kyrie. They're going to lose most of the football season. So I want to give them some type of hope and say, you're going to win this conversation with me. You're going to win more than four games this year.
Wally, wow. Factory of Sadness, we got one under, one over. Your take?
They're under. And there's no half to it either. They're under. They like 3, maybe 2 games. They hit that.
I'm going to go ahead and just sew that up with you and go as well as the under. I love Kyler. I just don't think that, you know, they did enough. In Cleveland, I need them to show me more before I can just give them this off of draft picks, off of potential. So I'm going to go with the under as well. Cleveland, the Browns, anyway, I'm always looking for you guys. I will always restate my first football memory was, you know, that I can remember that I love. Not that I didn't remember Walter Payton and the Super Bowl of 83 and those things, but I will never forget the Browns versus the Denver Broncos in the snow, Bernie Kosar versus John Elway. But it's been a long time since I've seen those guys. Over, under. Finishing third division, according to the under, according to Vegas, the Cincinnati Bungles, as I will always refer to them as, at 8.5. I'm going to go with the even on this, or the under, and go 8 games. I see Cincinnati as an 8-8 team. I think the division is very hard, but that's just where I see the Cincinnati Bengals. Their schedule is it's an okay schedule. I need to see more from them. They should be better than what they've been. They had a good year 2 years ago. They regressed last year. What shall happen this year, Michael, with you? Bengals, 8.5, over, under.
Man, me and you reading each other's minds today. I have to go even. They're going to go 8-8. So under. They're going to go 8-8, too. I believe that. I don't know what Hugh Jackson did to Andy Dalton, but ever since he left, Andy Dalton was like, I don't know how to play quarterback anymore. It was. I don't understand. Like, I know Hugh is a guru, but good gosh. I didn't expect that much of a regression the year after he left. And, honestly, why is Marvin still there? I'm just trying.
You know why he's there. The same reason Isaiah Thomas was in New York. He got camera footage of the owner. You know this, man.
He has to have camera footage. I mean, he has to. He's blackmailing, clearly blackmailing.
Jay Chris, over under on the 8.5 for the Cincinnati Bungles.
Ooh, hoo, hoo. I'm going to go with the, just for fun, I'm going to go with the over. Just for fun.
Over, just for fun. Wally, 8.5.
No,
I'm gonna go with the over. They tend to back back. Once they have a bad season, they tend to bounce back. They're a good regular season team. Still got a strong defense. AJ Green. It's all predicated with AJ Green's healthy. AJ Green's healthy, they'll ball. So I got them going over.
All right. Baltimore Ravens at 9. Micah, over under on the 9 for the Baltimore Ravens.
Oh, that's hard because. I'm just kidding. It's not hard. They if Ryan Mallett is their starting quarterback, then it's going to be under. Okay? One of the most physical teams you're going to ever deal with. They're going to be scrappy in every single game, but I do not see them winning 9 games if one Ryan Hammer, I mean Mallett, is their quarterback. Definitely under.
Okay. Well, I don't think he's going to be their full quarterback. There's nothing really wrong with who I call elite Joe Flacco. You don't agree with that, but again, I beg the question. There's not 10 quarterbacks in the NFL better than Joey Flacco. I got this easily at over. Baltimore Ravens at 9 wins. They're just too good of an organization. While it's referred to as organization when it comes to certain teams, they're an organization that's better than 9 games. They may be at 9. It may be at 10. I can't see the Baltimore Ravens having another subpar season that they had last year. Wally, over under for the Ravens?
It's not. I guess it's like I want it. If I said under, it'll be 8-8. I do think the Bengals and the Steelers will be a little bit better than them. But I'm with you. Like, I mean, it's hard to always to go against the Ravens. The organization is, you know, one of the better organizations in football. But I don't like what they have at wide receiver, and the running back play is still a little iffy to me. They just have a dominant running game. And West is a good running back, but he's not dominant. And then the wide receiver core. So I don't think you did enough around Joe Flacco for them to be good offensively, especially in that division where defenses run that division for real. So that's why I would say 8-8. But I do think the Ravens' defense will be strong. But I don't know if that's going to be enough to beat the other.
And they brought over you got Eric Ruddle coming back into the season with them.
I actually like
the Ravens defense. Yeah, I like the Ravens defense. I agree with you, Flacco, not having they didn't do enough in the offense. But let's see what these rookies that they drafted can do, and the rookies they drafted last year that can do that was hurt. You know what I mean? So let's see if those young guys like a Jordan Matthews, like a Nelson Aguilar, we talked about earlier in the program, can make that year two, year three turn and help Joey Flacco out. Jay Chris, over under 9 wins for the Baltimore Ravens.
I'm going under. You know, I don't believe in the Ravens right now. I'm going under, and that's it. That's just what it is. They don't win 9 games. They might be an 8-8 team, maybe even be a seven and nine team.
Do you think Joe Flacco is elite?
I think he's on the cusp. I don't consider him an elite quarterback. There's only maybe 4 elite quarterbacks in the league.
So you got maybe Brady, Breeze, Aaron Rodgers, and you're going to put Matty Ice in there, I'm assuming? Or are you going to throw Eli in there?
I'm putting Eli in there before I put Matty Ice in there. Eli, I think, has had –
Okay, so we got those 4. So then after that, you have tiers of elite. So there's the top-tier elite, and then there's those guys teetering on elite status, which you're putting Matty Ice and maybe Joe Flacco.
That's where
okay.
I would put those
Wally?
Guys.
Wally, your take? Do you think Joe Flacco is elite? I think he has one of
these. I think Ben Roethlisberger is elite, too.
Okay. I forgot to throw him in there. You're right. That's 5.
I think he's underrated. I don't think he's elite. I'm like Jay, because I don't have so many elite quarterbacks. I think Brady – I only have that many, to be honest with you. Brady, Manning, Breeze, Rodgers. I'm not saying Manning. I'm Manning, so not Manning. I'm thinking about Peyton. Peyton's retired. Brady, Breeze, Rodgers.
You know you can't spell elite.
Eli's not elite to me. Eli's not elite to me. His numbers don't say elite. He's been blessed with good defenses, too. I look at quarterbacks who can kind of transcend. Like when you're elite, that means if your defense isn't, like, balling, you can still go out there and win games for your team. That's an elite quarterback to me. Like, everything doesn't have to be perfect. I think a lot of times when we look at all the quarterbacks, we put them in elite status. Everything is good and good for them, and that's why they put up stats. But when I'm talking about the guys that we're referring to, that everything isn't ideal. Like they may not have a running game, they may not have a good defense. They can still go out there and win games with what they have.
So I just think that, you know, in terms of, you know, putting that all together, when I look at an elite quarterback, it's a guy like a superstar basketball player or a superstar running back. Like, he may not have the O-line, but he can still get his yards.
Mm-hmm.
He may not play with a good two-man or a good three-man or whatever, but he can still win games and dominate games in terms of basketball sense. So that's how I look at elite quarterbacks. If you can win with limited talent and still be up there, I look at you as an elite quarterback.
Well, there you have it. Elite defenses made him look better. Eli's defense made him look better. Over under for who I think I picked last year to go to the Super Bowl. This year I have them losing again in the AFC Championship game. And, of course, that has to be the Pittsburgh Steelers. They have the over under at 10.5. I'm going with the under for the Pittsburgh Steelers. This is, of course, being that they get Le'Veon Bell into camp. They don't have Williams to fall back on this year. I like you said, Jay Chris, and I'm sorry I didn't think of him right there. I do consider Big Ben elite. I think he gets the job done with or without the offensive line, with or without the defense being where it should be. I think Tomlinson is a very underrated coach. I talked about this last year on the program. I don't think he gets enough credit for what he does. But here in the DMV area, which we do most of our radios here at Fox Sports Radio 13:4 a.m. in the DMV area, that he's not loved being, you know, that Washington Redskins area and things like that in the Ravens area. But I like Pittsburgh. I will, for an Eagles fan, it's hard for me to admit that, but I love this organization. To me, next to the Yankees, next to the those kind of franchises, the Yankees, the Patriots, there's the Pittsburgh Steelers, in my opinion. The organization is class. They wake up and win 8 games, in my opinion. So 10.5, I'm going with the over on this one, Wally. I mean, Jay Chris, your take.
Yeah, I'm definitely going with the over with the Steelers. And I, like you said, I think they're one of the elite franchises in all the sports, honestly. I mean, they've had three coaches in their entire time of being
for itself. Right.
Three coaches. Like what organization, in professional sports, a team with that type of age, who does that? You know what I mean? But yeah, I'm definitely going with the over. It's 10 games, right? Is it 10 games?
10.5.
I'm going with the over because they're probably an 11-12 win team. Everything goes right. And they got the elite Ben Roethlisberger. They always have a tough defense. They got AB at wide receiver. Excuse me. They got a stud in Le'Veon Bell. They probably win an 11-12 game. Easy.
Wally, over under for the Pittsburgh Steelers. They still curtain.
I got the Steelers going. Oh yeah, they're over. I think they win the division.
Mhm.
They over.
I had them. I got them going right back to the AFC Championship game.
Yeah, I do look at Roethlisberger as elite. He's actually one. I do look at him as elite. Nobody heard it. I mean, don't forget, it's not like, even though AB has been really good. AB has been good. But don't forget, like, you know, he wasn't nobody. Roethlisberger helped make him to who he was. So I cannot look at that as another measurement. Like, who can make you into what you are. But don't forget, AB wasn't a first-round pick. He wasn't even a second-round pick.
Yes, he was.
So, you know, so Ben Roethlisberger is a reason of it, one of the main reasons of his success. But he would be successful anyway, but I'm saying he's one of the main reasons, though.
Micah, real quick, over, under 10.5 for the Steelers.
Oh, yeah, definitely over. The Steelers are going to go ahead and do their thing. I see them making a good playoff run just like you do. My only concern for them is when they play New England this year during the season, will they switch their freaking defense? That's all I want to know. if you change your defensive concept, you may have a chance to smoke Brady. So, yeah, I do. Change the defensive concept. That's it. All right, I'm done.
I'm sorry. That's funny. That's just funny, man. I'm sorry.
Hell it isn't, Tom.
So that's what we want to find out about that defense. Listen, guys, we're going to get up out of here. Thank you guys for tuning in. Check in Monday, guys. We got a big jam-packed show for you on Monday. Listen, do not wake up tomorrow morning and say to yourself, I love me some me. He better be in the Hall of Fame next year, guys. And don't love God. That's crazy. We out of here, y'all. See y'all in 48 hours. Peace. Time.
cash, homie.
This is the Soul in Sports, hosted by Mike Knox. It's barbershop talk, still we think outside the box. We take it to the hoop, y'all be trying to find your shot. Sports talk, the best on the dial when it's time to rock. We talking football, baseball, boxing, any sports you can name. Keep your radios locked in. Listen, you can get the scoop on all your top 10. Mike Knox, Soul in Sports, we keep it hot, man.
And that's the bottom line, because Stone Cold said so.
If you're not down with that, we got you!